The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. Past editions of Sioux Valley Voice are available online at ktna.org. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna. I'm Philip Manning, and this is Sioux Valley Voice. My guest today is Borough Assembly Member Vern Halter. We'll be discussing the borough budget, issues facing the borough and borough assembly, and taking your calls. The number to call is 733-1200 if you want to join in on our conversation during the next hour, provided that you're not listening to the rebroadcast at 7 o'clock. Vern Halter, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you, Phil. It's a good morning to the Upper Valley. Sure fun to be here. Beautiful drive up this morning. The mountains out.
We've had a really nice few days up here. I don't know how it's been. I guess you live closer to us than to Palmer. But
I think I've been in Alaska 40 years, and I think this is probably one of the earliest and best springs that I recall in my tenure up here.
Yeah. So glad you could make it here to join us, especially after the marathon meeting last night.
That was a tough, long assembly meeting. I think I got back home at about 1 p.m. And we've had some shorter meetings, but that one there went on to almost midnight.
Well, you know, and I was streaming it here for folks that don't know Radio Free Palmer. Mm-hmm. They stream the meetings online, and so I was listening here at the station and. I think it ended at 11:22 was what I have.
It was a long one. It was, you know, you need one of those every once in a while. There was a couple tough issues, a lot of testimony. Some of the people got to testify three different times on basically about the same issues.
So. Right. Well, yeah, and the reason for that being is that, you know, people are allowed to testify on public hearings to the proposed ordinance specifically, and then there's audience participation where you can talk about pretty much anything you want to.
They stayed to the same theme last night.
I did notice that, and as I go through the tape a little, I put up together a quick reader for this morning's news, but later today I'll comb through that tape a little bit more. So I guess while we're on that, there were a couple of things that really drew a lot of discussion and a lot of public testimony, and they are relevant to the borough budget. One is an ordinance proposal that you put forward that has to do with the tax cap for service areas. Now, could you kind of walk us through what the tax cap is?
Well, the tax cap is it's a MSB 03-04-075 is the code section. It's a three-part code. It has A, B, and C. A lays out the general tax cap that all mill levies from the prior year are matched against the mill levies for the next year total, and then you can add in the Anchorage CPI consumer price index, plus you got to add in the population growth for the last 5 years of the borough, and you can't exceed your limitation. So, and then part B was what the whole assembly thing was about last night. Part D has five exceptions that wouldn't be considered in that first fiscal year cap.
Okay.
And so I was proposing an exception for service areas. I finally withdrew that because there's already a section number five, an exemption covering that. So I was pretty sad after learning, studying the thing, I pulled it. The key to the whole tax cap is part C.
Okay.
So if you're in one of those five exemptions, service areas, you get to delay calculation of the tax cap in Part A for 1 year, and that's it. A lot of people thought, well, you're getting out of the whole thing. It's just a delay. So you're not calculated in the fiscal year present. You're calculated into the next fiscal year. So you're always calculated in the tax cap. And I the tax cap works. It really does. And we have no problem. We will not violate the tax cap at all in 2016.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because last year's area-wide mill rate was 9.662. The proposed area-wide mill rate by the manager at this time is 9.815, a 0.153 difference.
Mm-hmm.
The non-area-wide The expenses in the non-area, that's Fund 200, went down $128,000.
Okay.
So that is...
So it balances in the
overall. And then the cumulative road service areas is pretty close to what they were last year. So there's not even a close call on okay. tax cap violation. So I don't, that tax cap works.
Okay.
And it probably is good because it keeps assembly and borough staff on their toes right. and things like that. So it's...
One prevents... Runaway mill rate increases.
You know, the ordinance I put in was another exception in Part B, mm-hmm. but it wasn't really needed. That's why I withdrew it, because it's really, we operate just fine under the current tax cap. So I learned a lot about it. And believe me, there was a lot of people came in and pointed out that, see, a lot of them were, they thought we were trying to remove the tax cap totally.
Okay.
That was the problem. It was just a total misunderstanding. Somebody from... put out that that's what was happening, and of course they come in just
sure,
but that happens.
There are a lot of folks in the valley that are not a fan of taxes at all. A lot of folks in our listening area too.
I like the tax cap; it works. I understand it. You have to remember that Part C really keeps it. If you get an exemption in Part B, you're still going to go in the tax cap the next year.
It's
a 1 year delay.
It's a follow on.
So, okay, and it works. It's fine.
All right. Well, hopefully. Hopefully that answers some of the questions about it.
It's very political. It's kind of it could be very misunderstood.
Right. And so, I mean, part of that, but, you know, it was all about raising the money necessary to keep service areas going, things like that. But so the other ordinance that Assemblymember Sykes proposed that isn't gone forever. I mean, yours got postponed indefinitely.
Right.
So it's gone.
And basically. I made the motion to postpone indefinitely because that basically kills it.
Right.
Now, Sykes moved to continue the repeal of the vehicle registration tax of vehicles over 8 years, you know, and that was continued till May sometime.
The 26th, I think, was the date. Mm-hmm. And so that one, because I remember I did a fair bit of coverage when that was being debated the first time.
Right.
And, you know, the way that works is you, once your vehicle comes up for registration again, you register... Excuse me. And you have the option of paying an extra $25 or whatever it is, and then you never have to register it again. And I remember at the time I spoke with the borough finance director, Tammy Clayton, and she gave me some numbers about what that would mean
financially.
Right. And it was, I mean, it was a seven-figure impact over the course of a couple of years. So now, as we're looking at this again, you know, we're going to get into kind of the nitty-gritty of the borough budget here in a little bit. But, I mean, the borough is looking at a shortfall.
Well, don't read everything you read in the papers, you know, the frontiersman. That's I think that was language that probably should – it was a nice headline, but it's not totally true.
Well, it's the $11.9 million is – there are mitigating factors there because I looked at the actual document and you know, if you look at just the line item, it says there's an $11.9 million shortfall, but there's something like $9 million in last year's budget that didn't get spent. So it cuts that number down significantly.
When I read that headline, you know, it's designed to sell papers, but it wasn't accurate.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to balance the budget. We're going to have a mill rate. I think the mill rate's going to go up a little bit over last year. 9.662 was the lowest historically in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll figure it out. The school's asking for a 3% increase that I like to fund that because we have a growth in our school systems and having good schools is a priority of mine. So we have to look for that money in this budget. The cities of Wasilla, Houston, and Palmer, they like a matching grant for their libraries. I like to support that because I'm a big sport. You know, on the way in here, I stopped up at the new library facility to come and talk to you. And it's just incredible. They gave me a tour this morning. It was just wonderful to see the facility. So I'm a big supporter of libraries. So there's a lot of things and those weren't in the budget. So I'll have to amend those things to be put in the budget. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure somebody else will too. Mr. Culligan from Wasilla, I'm sure will make sure that.
The Wasilla Library.
Yes. That's being built right now. They clearly broke ground. The borough gave them the land. We gave the city of Wasilla the land, which was quite a bit of money, over $1 million worth of land. The city of Wasilla went out and used their sales tax, got a vote to raise their sales pack, a mill or something, to build this library. So it's a great project.
Okay. So, I mean, now that we are kind of getting into some of the budget items and what is and isn't there, when you're looking at it, and you've already talked a little bit about it, you know, schools, libraries, that sort of thing. So, I mean, in this, your last budget cycle on the assembly, yeah. what are your other priorities other than the ones you've already mentioned, schools and libraries?
Well, you know, the road bonds were voted on quite a few years ago, and most of those projects are being built. The school bonds that came down about the same cycle, Matthew Beck, one of our assembly members, said there was like 110 different projects completed under the bonds over the last year. So you can just imagine the amount of jobs and things like that and construction that went on. They have a new list of road bond projects that could be bonded. You know, the state of Alaska has issued a 5-year moratorium on the match. So if it was a school bond, it was a 70% match from the state up against our 30%. So that would be gone. On the road bonds, it would be 50% state, 50% borough. So that's gone. So if you had a $30 million borough obligation, the state would come in with another 30. So it's, you know, it'd be hard for me to think that we'd want to put a bond in front of the voters because it'd have to be 100% for the next 5 years.
Right.
But the problem is all of a sudden, here we are. We've had a great economy, and all of a sudden, it's just going to stall out the economy. Mm. That's what I'm worried about as far as that approach. And then your roads aren't getting built, and our population's going up at the same time. We're the only ones where the population grows 400 kids a year in the school system. So,
right, and that's, you know, one of the things I've talked a lot to to some of the local principals here, and they're you know, they're posting pretty significant growth numbers in the classrooms, especially in Talkeetna Elementary. They're seeing some pretty significant growth here.
Well, that's good because you have new families, and that's a good indicator, and just more families living in the area.
Right.
And you have to sustain that. You have to have good facilities. You know, we're lucky. Sioux Valley High School is just a wonderful facility, and Talkeetna Elementary and things like that. So we're good there. But there's always maintenance, and there's always repairs, you know.
Well, and then you've got some, you know, Trapper Creek Elementary is significantly older than Talkeetna Elementary.
New roof project over there. And, you know, you always got to maintain them, too. And that money, a lot of that came in the bonding. It was spread out a lot. Of course, they built some big schools, Joe Reddington Senior High School, $68 million. And Iditarod Elementary is going to break ground this summer right in Wasilla.
Right.
You know, $22 million, something like that. But there was other really significant projects that impacted this area.
Okay. So on that, because I was going to bring that up, is that there are two school construction projects right now. And how does the state's bonding decision or decision not to match bonds, how does that affect the current projects? Do we know?
Well, you get a lot of – you would hope – they agreed when those bonds came out to match 70. But they still have to be funded every year that the bond is sold.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would think there'd be some honor among gentlemen and down there. And Matt, and the moratorium's for the future.
Okay.
And, you know, so I hope all these old bonds are matched, and certainly that'll be a priority of the Matsu Borough Assembly when we talk to our legislatures again.
Sure.
And I think they understand that, and it was agreed to. But you do have to finance it. You have to appropriate it. The money's got to be appropriated every year.
Sure.
And believe me, you know, down in Juneau, there was some tight stuff.
Yeah. So my guest today is Matsu Borough Assemblymember Vern Halter. If you want to join in on the conversation, give us a call, 733-1200, or you can send an email to dj@ktna.org. So, you know, we mentioned it a little bit, the issue of less revenue. Part of that, you know, you've got the state revenue sharing, things like that, that aren't there this year, at least not to the extent that they have been in years past. And as a result, the overall budget proposal from the borough manager is down about $4 million out of a $400 million budget, but it's down about $4 million from last year. And so the assembly requested this memorandum on what's not there. Basically.
Correct.
And that got put out 2 days ago. So on Monday, this got put out. And there's a few things, and I just kind of want to talk to you about some of them. One we've already covered, which is the 3% increase to the school's operating fund, which would amount to about $1.5 million. And then As we go down to the Department of Emergency Services, one that caught my eye here is about a $700,000 line item for 5 full-time EMTs and 3 full-time paramedics. Now, I remember when the kind of restructuring began last year or the year before, there was discussion that, oh, well, there's going to be a full-time EMT or paramedic that just kind of sits in this area talking about scaling back the on-call, things like that. Do you know, have you been told, is this tied in with that program, or is that going to be put on hold?
I think they want to add more permanent employees to cover that. You know, they're limited to 29 hours a week on a lot of things and payment and things like that, which has handicapped them quite a bit. So they're trying to add some permanent. This is probably the core area where you're really looking at, central area and West Lakes, where huge population base. They also, the other aspect of that was not only the personnel, all our ambulances all of a sudden are aged out almost to a T. So there's a proposal for 12 new ambulances and things like that. I think that's probably in the next page. I'm probably going to support this. I'm probably going to support this EMT increase because, you know, having good service with our ambulances, it doesn't really matter. You know, if you're in a ditch and had a car wreck and things like that, having good service, having good equipment, these new, now figuring out how to pay for the vans or the new ambulances is another thing. And we could use a shorter term type of financing and pay it off a certain amount a year so that you don't have a lump sum in this budget. I think that'd be the way to go in the ambulances.
Okay. And
then we got to find the money. The EMTs, that'd be area-wide mill rate.
Okay.
And so that's your bigger mill rate number, which is the manager has it set at 9.815 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where that money would come from if you decide to do that.
Okay.
I will support the EMTs.
And then, so that was the next line item I was going to look at, which is either 1.6 or 2.1 million for either upgrading or new ambulances, 12 of them.
Right, and that one there, I think probably a shorter-term financing program to do that would probably be the way to get that equipment to the people that need it.
You know, and while we're on the topic of emergency services, there's been quite a bit of talk in Willow, which we reach most of the way through Willow with our signal. But what's the outcome of that with the fire service area and the new building and grant, and loan money? And
it's one of those things. It's been a divisive issue, but it's a not needed issue. In the borough's manager's budget, the mill rate for the Willow fire service area is set at 2.75, which will be an adequate good mill rate. It's lower than and a great majority of the mill rates for fire service areas, even when it goes up. They have been so inadequately funded for so long, it's had kind of a tough impact on the local firefighters. They have several new stations, like Nancy Lake was kind of contentious, but the land has been purchased. There was a separate ordinance to purchase that with the revolving loan fund, which will be paid back in the budget. Quite easily. I'm asking that total amount be paid back in 2 years, right off the get-go. To build, the Senator Dunleavy and John Wood, who is a local, his staffer, granted $600,000 construction, so that's not into the mill rate to build the Nancy Lake facility. They also granted money to build a Crystal Lakes facility, warm storage. That grant money came from the state. That's out to bid, will be built this summer.
Okay.
Caswell's been a really good model because they went from nothing. They formed their service area, plus they've had a new warm storage building, plus a new $2.2 million fire station was built. And so they're more proactive. And I think it's been very frustrating for the firefighters and a lot of volunteers and a lot of Willow residents that the mill rate was so low so long that it's had a definite impact on service.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping to correct that.
Right. And I'm sure there will be some discussion of that tomorrow at the meeting in Willow.
Yes. So for the public listening in, there is a public hearing in Willow Community Center tomorrow night, Thursday night. And everybody, Upper Valley, Valley, if you have an issue like the sewer and water here in Talkeen, to come down and testify because the whole assembly's there. Mm-hmm. You know, it took me a year or two to get them out of Palmer and actually do that. The first time they did it was last year in Willow. And this is the second
time. And it was good turnout.
It was good turnout, and I think there'll be great turnout tonight. They're actually having some free lunch and stuff from the
local community
would come down there. And it's just nice, I think, for assembly members to get away from the core area and listen to some of the closer issues to the Upper Valley. A lot of people down there, you know, you hear staff saying, well, you know, it costs more to take care of the Upper Valley, and it costs more to do this, and I get sick of that.
Well, and you know, you mentioned that, and I think it's Assemblymember Sykes has asked for a study or some sort of analysis of what different communities pay in versus what it costs to provide services there.
Wow. And, you know, I love Mr. Sykes, and you know, but sometimes, you know, he hasn't seen a committee he doesn't like. You know, committees, to me, very seldom get anything done. You know, that study, you know, I would assume that, you know, I'm not so sure what's going to come of it. Mm. I'm not so sure I totally support it. Because I have people out in Squintna right now. We have a landfill out there, and the borough staff right. said, we're just going to close this thing. And, you know, that'll be over my dead body. And because, you know, they pay property taxes like everybody else. And, yes, they are remote, but it's been open for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think – I talked to DEC the other day, and they're not going to let them off the hook. They said you can't just close it and call it a day. You've got to correct the problem and then move or provide other – facilities for that landfill to service the people.
Right.
So that's that, and that's my position.
Okay.
And it does maybe it does cost more to for students and things like that. But that's the way it is statewide.
Mm.
You know, we have our population concentrated in the valley and Anchorage, and then this huge state has all these villages and things like that. So this is not a new issue to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And the correct way to do it is provide services no matter where you are.
Sure.
That's the correct way to do it, and that's the. That's the Vern Halter's position, I'll tell you that.
Okay. There are a couple of more things on this what's not in the budget sheet. But before that, if you want to join in on our conversation with Mat-Su Borough Assemblymember Vern Halter, the number to call is 733-1200.
We need a couple tough questions.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of sleepy, so you don't know what I'm going to say.
Well, yeah, it was a late night
so
meeting
please
last
call
night.
In.
I haven't quite gone through a pot of coffee yet, so there's one.
There we go.
There's the phone's ringing. There's a couple more items on here. One is for an additional code compliance officer, which caught my eye.
We have three right now,
yeah.
and which is, you know, a big area the size of West Virginia, and then calls every day. So I'd probably support that. We're way under.
Well, one thing that comes up, too, is the code compliance officer for this area is Pam Ness.
She's great, right?
She's also our floodplain administrator.
Right.
And
she's an old trooper.
she
knows her way around the ballpark.
But, I mean, you know, when you're talking about being stretched thin, I mean, she wears a lot of hats.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, because, you know, if you don't have a code compliance, it doesn't really, you know, what good's a code?
Sure.
Really.
And you know, there have been some issues of late that have been brought to my attention that have come up at the community council, things like that, where there are potential, you know, either code violations or something that, you know, there just literally isn't time to look into. And it's, you know, it's funny where it's not funny, but it's interesting. We're potentially statewide looking at a similar issue with the troopers because Colonel Cockrell has basically said, we're not going to be able to respond to all the things that we used to.
Right.
And how much of that is really true and how much of it is, yeah, hey, let's get a little bit more money back in our budget. You know, nobody can really say for sure. But let's see. I don't think he's still on the line here, but we did have a called in question. Let's see. Let's make sure here. We've got a question from Robert here. Robert. Nope. Robert is not there. But I do have a question here from Robert that is, what's going on with the rail spur extension? And you and I talked about this a little bit before we went on air.
The rail spur extension, of course, is all capital. You know, it's being built in segments and phases. There's, you know, it's state money.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, you know, when you're looking at your mill rates, there's no mill rate impact at all for the rail spur. It's all, and, you know, the state has just stalled it out. You know, so there's no capital money coming, which is very unfortunate because that's a project that's, you know, two-thirds of the way into construction, and now it's going to sit idle, which is not good for anybody. It's like building a road halfway or to the bridge, and then you can't go anyplace. So that project, we need to get the capital. You know, to me, I was always opposed to the Wantana Dam up here, and a ton of money, several hundred million, was spent on that. And now you got a rail spur And this is state money.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got a rail spur that didn't get completed. It just gets very frustrating at times. But it's a capital project. We need the capital. And, I know, down in Juneau, it was tight. You know, mm-hmm. they got marching orders from the governor. And so they basically clamped
the capital budget down to
almost zero.
The capital budget, I mean, really did get hit hard.
Very frustrating, you know. And then, of course, education, I really feel was really frustrating to see some of the things that went on with education of, you know, going after the fund that was forward funding for education. Mm-hmm. Last year, that was such
HB 278 from last year.
That was a total bummer to me.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were really disappointed in that. Well, and then now the issue then is the formula was hit as well.
Yeah,
so
it's 1, 2, 3.
And of course, now the governor has called them back into session to talk about it some more. That and Medicaid expansion and Aaron's Law, I think, were the three things on his special session.
Well, you'd think Aaron's Law would go right through myself personally, but I guess it has.
Well, from what I understand, the roadblocks that it's hit have been that it is, even though it's not necessarily a big one, it is an unfunded mandate. And so there's a lot of districts and people who are within school systems that are really kind of balk at any unfunded mandate. They'll tell you, mm-hmm. we really like the idea, but
that's a state issue too. That's a valid issue, you know, because you have something coming down and then you got to pay for it, but somebody else is telling you, okay,
but you're getting your budget cut at the same time.
that really never works too well. But so I understand that. Some of the other issues down there on the school funding is, you know, I think schools got to be a priority statewide plus borough-wide. Mm-hmm. And we have a great system right now. We just have great administration. It's always fun to have our joint assembly school board meetings, and we just click right now. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the way it was quite a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Dr. Paramo, our superintendent, it just seems like she has a great staff. And the borough staff, too, you know, we just have great directors right now. Mike Brown, Capital, and Terry Dolan with Public Works, and Eric Phillips with Community Development. Community Development would do a lot of little things around your, mm-hmm. you know, your parks and your trails, and he's the guy that runs that. Just a great staff.
Yeah. I will. One thing, not to go too far down the rabbit trail, but on that, I think one thing that's been a perennial issue. I know it's been a perennial issue on the community council's requests for, you know, what do we want for mm-hmm. the area. And it just came up again recently is a public water point.
Well, a public water system, you know, that's, you know,
for people in dry cabins and things like that, a public place to go get water.
So you got to have a commercial well, and then you got to have the delivery system. Usually you got to have from a warm to a cold, you know, in the winters, and Fairbanks is, you know, has done it. I guess the location would be, probably down at the Y, you know, so, you know, you've got access from Trapper Creek, you got mm-hmm. access from here and there, you know, so I think that'd be a valid thing. It would be funding again.
Right. That's always the stumbling block.
And so, you know, that's an issue worth going for.
So we do have another question that's come in via email from Terry, and that is, how would you fix the problem of EMTs being at the firehouse for their 29.9 hours, and then they can't go out when they're called because they've already used up their hours, and so then you have to wait for something from the core area for an ambulance, per se?
Well, that's a huge technical problem, isn't it? I mm-hmm. mean, that 29.9, I think, has had more... That's had some negative effects, you know, and that's one of them. And, you know, I guess, you know, we're going to have to look at that pretty carefully. And that's why, like, the Corps is going to more permanent type employees. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we are at just about to the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break here in just a minute and come back and continue talking about the budget. And then I do have a note here about Talkeetna Sewer and Water. So we could go for the whole second half hour on that if we wanted to. But my guest is Mat-Su Borough Assembly Member Vern Halter. If you want to join in on the second half of the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200. Or you can send an email to dj@ktna.org. We'll be right back with the second half of Sioux Valley Voice. And we're back. My guest today is Mat-Su Borough Assemblymember Vern Halter, who represents District 7, which includes, I don't guess we ever really covered that, but Meadow Lakes all the way up past Trapper Creek.
That's correct. Well, all the way up to Broad Pass, all the way down, you know, over towards Lake Louise, quite a big chunk of territory. It only has five voters. I found that out when we did the, you know.
I remember that when they were redrawing
the
precinct
lines. They wanted to take
lines.
My land. And, you know, and they actually wanted to make the five voters drive from basically up north of here all the way over to Sutton area or Chickamauga.
Right. Yeah.
That was well thought out.
I remember one thing that you brought up at the time, too, was it would have taken the proposed Susitna Dam site out of your district.
Yeah, that was about to happen over my dead body again. And,
so as promised before the break, and if you do want to join in the conversation, the number is 733-1200 or dj@ktna.org. Or we've got a Facebook post up there as well. So go ahead and comment on the Facebook post at KTNA. So Talkeetna Sewer and Water. it's been a topic that KTNA's covered
for 6 years.
And then some before that, I think.
Right, exactly.
But it's kind of a perennial issue around here, and I'm sure a lot of people are aware, but not everybody is maybe, that the system is in kind of a structural deficit right now. According to the study results, there's $82,000 operating deficit for this year, and that's just projected to continue growing.
And so they built up a deficit based on that.
Right,
operating for the
through
last,
revolving loan funds and that sort of thing.
There were several loans, plus they're running in red on the budget.
Right.
So it's just been building and building.
Right, and I know a couple of years ago you headed the effort to put $75,000 from the general fund.
Right.
And
got blocked.
Yeah.
Area ride to a service area is illegal. Bed tax got blocked, you know, legally. So
I mean, the there have been a lot of avenues explored that have run into issues like that of the service area problem. So this study, which was funded by $100,000 legislative grant, I think it was actually
2 years ago.
Two years ago. And I know Senator Dunleavy's office was involved, but paid for an assessment of the sewer and water system, both the physical system, and then kind of added on, because it was subcontracted by, was a rate study.
Correct.
And I know at the community council meeting this week, Karen Schapansky, who used to be the chair of the sewer and water board here, was actually expressed a lot of disappointment in that, because she said that the community's goal with that study in the first place was, okay, how do we pay for this thing? And then it became, well, how's the system doing? Oh, and by the way, how do we pay for it? There was some disappointment expressed there. Of course, now the Sewer and Water Board only has two members, so is effectively inactive.
Well, no, they have a quorum. You know, cause if it's a three-member board, I believe it is a three. So that
I think it's a max of five.
Oh, is it on there?
Yeah. So they need.
Well,
three.
Then they are definitely don't have a quorum. So
yeah. So they haven't been able to meet for a few months, I think. But so as we're looking at it, you know, the rates. Let's start with the rate structure, because with the structural deficit, like I mentioned, there is a proposal. What the study found is that it would take a 13% annual increase in water for 5 years and a 6% annual increase in sewer for 5 years, which an ADN reported this is a 19% increase, which isn't right because of the way the bills work, because those services aren't separated on your current bill technically. So what it actually amounts to is about a 10%. Compounding increase over 5 years, which is still
a lot.
It ends up being about 60% increase for folks and businesses. Of course, high and high volume businesses would see an even bigger increase because of the per gallon that does kick in for them eventually. Now, included in that study were four alternate rate structures, all of which involved metering. And I know what Terry Dolan has said, and he told me and he told the assembly that basically there's so much mistrust around the water meters in Talkeetna that he didn't think any kind of additional metering system was going to be feasible.
Well, you know, probably the single most frustrating thing for me on assemblies to listen to that come out now, because when I, several years ago, it was, wait, we're going to install the meters, and then we're going to know exactly the flow to various users, and then we could do a rate structure based on flow and usage, and it'll be a lot fairer. You'll have a little bit more of a fairness issue there. And now all of a sudden to hear that they got the meters in and things like that, but you have to correct them.
Because the wrong head was put. The wrong head
is just probably one of the most world-class frustrating things for me since I've been on assembly to see that kind of how on earth could that happen in a system, you know, put the wrong meters in or some little glitch like that where you can't trust them now.
Right.
That's to me, kind of inexcusable.
So, I mean, what as a result, we do end up with
flat, fat fee, basically.
Flat fees, at least for residential.
You know, when I first got on assembly, I watched this on the solid waste. We come into the solid waste, which is an enterprise fund. They're basically operating on user fees. They were so far in the red, it was almost, of course, it's a bigger thing, you know, millions and millions where you're talking about an operating budget, several hundred thousand for the Talkeetna Sewer and Water. So we did a five-year rate increase, rate structure. It was interesting. The 5 years is up, by the way, but they still didn't hit the black. But they're really close.
That's what this says is going to happen too.
Yeah, and so hopefully you would turn it around with your rate increase. It's going to be built into the budget, this year's budget. That rate increase will be coming right in on the service area rate. And so that's how their plan is. And then every year after that, the budget would be adjusted per year for that rate increase.
So if you want to join in and talk about the sewer and water system or any other borough topic, the number is 733-1200. You can send us an email, dj@ktna.org, providing that you're listening to this live and not the 7 o'clock rebroadcast. Right. So on, sewer and water, not only the rate structure, but the actual health of the system is always a topic of conversation around here. The report or the assessment that was done showed that the water system, for the most part, is working. The sewer system, there were some issues pointed out.
Lagoon and
short-circuiting of the lagoon, right. And that there have been issues in the past of, significantly higher than allowable fecal coliform, other contaminants, things like that. But what we run into is there's no money. So even with this five-year rate structure plan, it would get the operating budget – oh, there's the phone ringing again. It would get the operating budget at or near in the black, but there's still no money for repair and reserve. Right. So
exactly. I mean, that's – the Willow Fire Service area is a good example too. Their mill rate was so low for so long. You have no reserves. You have no ability to capitalize things, and that gets to be very frustrating. So where's the money going to come from? So basically your capital, like for the lagoons and things like that, are going to have to be direct state grants probably.
Right.
And, of course, now we're looking at our budget cycle. We're just talking about Juneau and the hopelessness of something like that is very frustrating.
Right. And I know there were plans in progress, to apply for funds to fix the wetlands that are out there, exactly. which is supposed to be an integral part of the system.
Exactly.
This natural filtration, and now there's just no money in Juneau when it comes to capital projects. So, I mean, I guess it really is an open question. And now I'm not sure this came up at Monday night's community council meeting, and over the past weekend. Right now, if you go down to the Talkeetna boat launch, what we're hearing from the guy who runs the boat launch is that the Talkeetna River channel isn't open. It's still frozen. And what you've got flowing past there is the outflow from the sewer lagoon, which has been treated in theory, but there's definitely some concern there because in the springtime, there's already not as much water there to dilute it.
Right.
Plus, the Talkeetna boat launch itself is filling with silt. Now, the borough has been involved
because
with the permitting.
River, because of the channel and the river switch.
It's moved. Yes. It's moved further away.
Moved north.
And I know the borough has been involved in permitting and stuff like that to get some of that water diverted back toward the boat launch and wash out some of that silt accumulation. But it seems to me, after following the story for 2 years, that the Talkeetna Sewer and Water System, it may not be on the edge of disaster, but it's definitely going to be a problem. I mean, the system's getting on 25 years old right now.
It's going to probably require a huge infusion of capital.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where that capital is going to, some of the grant money did come from the federal government.
Right.
And so maybe that's probably going to be our source. We're probably going to have to get with our senators out there and representative and try to get some money directly funded to the capital needs of the sewer and water system.
Yeah.
And well,
we did have another question called in from Bruce, which is, this is a fun one. What's the status of the ferry, the MV Susitna?
The MV Susitna, well, it's still in dry storage in Ketchikan. I think in this year's budget, last year's budget, I think there was about $770,000 dedicated to maintaining the ferry in dry storage in Seward. I think it's down this year, if I recall.
It is.
Don't totally quote me, $500,000
in that. I've looked at the line item. Yeah, it is down.
It is. You know, I just asked at the first public hearing for our budget work, I asked for an executive session on the ferry. And I want to know exactly we have a group of lawyers in Washington, D.C. I want to know exactly what the status is of the negotiation. See, we'd be obligated for $12 million of grant money that came in to build our building and things like that. What the negotiations are to get a final number. Now, $12 million maybe not be it, but I want to know what the number is going to truly be. And then I used the word scrap the ferry.
You did. I actually found out
that is a legal term. Mm. I was a little hesitant to use it, but I didn't know of any other one because there's no buyers for it. We have not been able to market it. You're caught into all these traps where you can't sell it to certain foreign buyers and things like that because of.
Because the last time I talked to the borough manager, which was weeks ago about this, he indicated that there was still an effort to try to sell it to a foreign entity.
There is, but it doesn't ever seem to come to existence. I've been on the assembly 6 years. I've been listening to this for 6 years. How many buyers are there? Nothing. Mm-hmm. There's never a down payment. There's never a deposit. There's never a money transaction. We never get from there to where we want to go as far as a sale. So, you know, sooner or later, you got to put water underneath the bridge, and this is one of these issues. We got to deal with that ferry. If we're going to spend $700,000 a year, let's pay it to the federal government because that's who we owe the money to, and get some value for it.
Mm.
Because we're not going to get around that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard some assembly members say, "Well, we'll negotiate. We'll just kind of stall and we'll bluff and we'll huff and puff." And I don't believe that'll happen. Mm. We just need to know the number. We need to get it in a budget. You can't pay it in 1 year. You have to pay it.
Sure, that's a big chunk. Yeah.
$750,000 a year, if that's what we're paying now, you know, in a matter of years, you'd have it paid off.
Right.
That's where I'm headed.
And then plus however many razor blades it melts down to if you scrap it, right? under your...
I don't totally understand scrapping. It's certainly not, you know, for a boat like that, the amount of money, it certainly is a horrible thing to think about, to tell you the truth. But I can't imagine, you know, there was going to beach it on the Point McKenzie. You know, it just...
Well, then there was a plan to put an air mattress under
I've heard them all.
Well, and you know, as someone who... I moved to the Valley 3.5 years ago, and even then, this was, you know, what are we going to do with this thing? Though at that point, I think there was still a glimmer of hope that it might actually get used, but... I mean, it just, as someone who's watching this and now as a journalist writing about it, the whole thing seems to have just been a comedy of errors from day one.
It certainly was. I mean, really, when you take a ferry and you haven't designed the whole project for the ferry terminal, so we're legally required to use it as a ferry. But when you haven't designed it, so you got a ferry terminal in Anchorage and you got a ferry terminal at the port, and then you take a boat, you kind of wonder who was doing the thinking on this project.
Okay.
And that's the problem. You know, Anchorage has never been very amenable to a ferry landing over there for whatever reason, political or whatever. You know, there's a little jealousy between the ports. Like, they've got a port, we've got a port that's developing, and whatever the politics is behind that.
Right.
And so we've been stalled and
And well, now it seems like there's really, at least over the last year or so of covering, and it seems like the borough has kind of resigned itself to the fact that this isn't going to happen.
Well, I don't know about everybody else. Vern Halter certainly got to, you know, coming along to that. I mean, it's an issue. This is my last few months on the assembly. It's an issue I'd like to put behind so the next District 7 assembly person doesn't have to deal with it.
Sure.
Like I've dealt with it 6 years. I've listened to this stuff for 6 years. You know, it's
sure.
I want to put it behind us.
Okay.
I would like to come up with some sort of agreement with the federal government on the number and things like that and disposal within the next matter of months.
Now, when you say you're going to ask for an executive session.
Well, it's pretty sensitive material you know, coming in on what you know, the lawyers are doing negotiating, things like that. You know, it's kind of sensitive, you know.
But so, then once that's done, once that number is determined, then, of course, that would have to come back out.
You go back on, you put your legislation on that you want to put on record, and we'll see where it goes. But that's where I want to go. But I'm just one of seven.
Right.
You know, really. And, you know, so.
Well, and, you know, the thing is that that's an issue that, you know, the assembly. A lot of the time, as an observer from the outside, I can usually tell which way a vote is going to fall on many ordinances.
I can, too. So.
But this is one that the ferry, things have shifted and moved, and I think there's a growing amount of frustration amongst a lot, just based on what I've heard them say. You know, like the Deputy Mayor Arvin, he's expressed a lot of frustration about this thing.
Well, he's been the most consistent voter. He votes against the operating part, you know. So you got to love him for that. Not a good decision, but, I mean, that's what how he's voted.
Well,
I think it's just a political statement.
Right.
And I think a lot, you know, I wanted the vote sold myself for, you know, years and years. I've been watching the process of trying to find an adequate buyer that we could actually market the boat to and get and move on. But it's not happening.
Well, and it seems like, you know, there is a parallel between that and what we're facing with Talkeetna Sewer and Water.
Right.
Which is the MV Susitna is an example of the borough trying to become a ferry operator, and the Talkeetna Sewer and Water is the borough becoming a utility operator.
Right.
Both things that it was never really designed to do in the first place.
Well, you know, there's, you know, utilities are usually quasi governmental functions,
right?
You know,
so, in Alaska, especially.
Exactly, and that's the way they should be. So I don't agree. You know, the mayor de Vilbas always says, "Well, you guys become a city and take care of yourself and quit sniveling." Well, that's you know, BS. Excuse my language. You know, we have to. It is our responsibility, the borough, to try to make this work right now.
Right.
And it's our responsibility to get out and seek the capital, if it's federal or where we're going to seek it, to make the ferry whole and make it usable, really. And that's where I think we're going to have to stick it. It is not fun to have rate increases. It really isn't. It wasn't fun to watch, like, on the solid waste, but it has worked. I think they're in the solid waste, just as an offside, I think there is room, like we have recycling right now. It's kind of an issue, and how to transport the recycled material to Palmer. And right now, they want to charge you for recycling material. And I'm trying to neutralize that so recycling will come in as no cost when you deliver it. And then the transport, how to pay for the transport, so you'll have your containers here in Talkeetna and Willow and Big Lake where those are being paid for privately, really.
Yeah.
And they transport them. So I'm trying to figure out a way to transport and keep your transfer stations up here, because some of the staff said they thought they'd want to charge more for rural residents. Once again, remember this rural thing? And then on the transfer for your normal garbage, and I'm 100% opposed to that. And so I'm trying to figure out a way to help them with their rates, to increase their revenue, to stabilize rates, to have free recyclable material, plus keep the transfer down. And the only way I can think about it is just to go up like a 1/10 or 1/15 of a mill rate increase on your non-area wide, which is about 0.5 now. So you're talking about going up to 0.58 or 6, and that'd be enough hundreds of thousands of dollars, free recycling, keep your transfer rates down
where they are,
down for the rural residents, and to move the recycling material to Palmer free.
Okay.
Plus help so that the rate doesn't – see, they have a rate structure, too, that doesn't go up all the time.
Right.
So that's where I'm going on that one.
Okay. Well, we've got about 10 minutes left, but we do still have time. If anybody wants to call in, 733-1200 or email dj@ktna.org. Well, let's stick to recycling for the moment at least, because – you mentioned there are three communities that have raised significant funds toward the end that showed a lot of enthusiasm.
To get their containers.
Two of them are in District 7, Willow and Talkeetna.
Well, I kind of claim Big Lake every once in a while. Oh, okay. If they're nice to us. They're our neighbors.
I won't tell Assemblymember Mayfield.
Right.
It's
a great... It's a great program.
And it's, well, and you know, when Butch Shapiro was up here last year talking about it for the first time, it was really billed from the borough's perspective as a potential cost saving. Because I saw there was an item on the borough agenda a few weeks ago for the closing of a landfill cell to the tune of about $2.3 million.
It's the less trash going into the landfill, hopefully, on the recycled material that's going to be used for other purposes, not filling your landfill. That's the side benefit.
Right, but that's a long-term benefit another area that's running in the red
now. But all of a sudden, they saw that they were going to charge them to bring it in, even though it's going to the recycling center.
Right.
You were going to pay to bring it there, and that's where I feel that we shouldn't do that. We should allow recycle to come in cost-free. Because then I think there'll be more of that long-term benefit.
Well, you know, I know something that's been brought up locally, and I think your name was mentioned along with it. You know, right now, it used to be in the springtime you'd get a punch card from Solid Waste for, you know, you could bring
like
in
those,
this many bags.
Yeah.
And we didn't get those this year.
They phase out all the fun things. The things that actually work, you know. You know, sometimes it's staffing decisions and things like that and cost factors and you can't.
Well, but I mean, the possibility of bringing something like that back, but only for recyclables.
Right. That'd be a good idea.
And I know that's an idea that's been tossed around here.
I think the local recycling group has raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $25,000.
They're getting really close.
It's pretty amazing.
There's more money waiting in the wings because the National Park Service has also come on board and said they want to buy a container.
Exactly.
And so that involves MOUs and MOAs.
So the cost is transport. So I want to take care of that transport in this budget. To get this stuff to Palmer and get it to the recycling center without a cost once it gets there. Either.
Right.
That's my goal.
I guess because right now the discussion is maybe having it a recycling cost at less than trash, have it so cost, but cost less than trash. But that's stuff that the borough would have to haul either way.
Right.
And VCRS is literally down the street from the central landfill.
It's a block over. You know,
yeah.
You pull in there, you take a left to go to the dump, you go straight ahead to the recycling center.
Exactly.
So I guess, maybe cost less. I think recycles, we should start it out free for a while and get the program going. And
I think a lot of people would agree with you on that.
I mean, and I don't mean free. I mean, there's always going to be a cost. You know, and so the non-area-wide rate with just a slight increase, you'd be able to absorb that cost to help the solid waste facility out so that, first of all, they wouldn't have to have such a huge rate increase, stabilize that. The transfer fees for normal garbage could be kept at the current rate plus the recyclables. So.
Right. Well, and I guess that's a bump in the mill rate isn't as immediately noticeable as someone having to get out their wallet at the transfer station.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need the same, you know, somebody said, the mayor said, well, I prefer user fees. Well, users are the same people as the taxpayers generally, really. I mean, that's how I look at it. MEA ratepayers, you know, basically that's the same group of people as your taxpayers, your property owners and things like that. So I don't distinguish them like that. To me, it's what's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to keep your rate from going up so it gets pretty excessive so people are willing to put their garbage in the woods rather than go to the landfill.
Right.
Really, or go to the transfer station. So if your transfer costs are starting to go up, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
People are they're going to burn it. They're going to dump it along, you know, appliances and stuff for out in the woods. And I don't want to go to those old days. And that's...
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the side bet. Then who's got to clean that up?
Right.
You know, so it's another cost.
So with the few minutes we've got left, let's look ahead. I know you said
ahead to October when I'm off the assembly.
Right. Well,
I'm just kidding.
And I don't know that we've really fully explained it, at least this go around, but you're terming out. So you couldn't run again.
Two, three year terms, and my term's up in October. And I honestly will admit I've enjoyed being on the assembly. It's been a great learning experience. In my first 3 years, my first budget cycle, I remember, was like, holy smokes. If Tom Cluverton didn't tell me anything about this big, thick book. And But I feel very comfortable with the budget cycle now. Mm. I understand the numbers. I understand the various rates and the mill rates and how it's going to work. And you read like the Frontiersman, we're 11.9 million in the hole, and it sounds good.
I will point out my story did explain why that.
Did you understood it? Good.
Well, that's a separate issue because, yeah. And it does deal with the future outlook too, because I think it's Assemblymember Sykes has brought it up, and it's an interesting question. You know, we keep. We being the borough, as a borough resident, the borough budgets this way, and it's been consistent for the last few years that the borough has underspent its budget by about $10 million a year.
Well, I asked for the rollover for the last 8 years. They haven't given me the numbers yet. So I think, you know, I'd like to see that amount. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I don't have an ulterior motive. I just want to see, just get in my mind how much is rolled over.
Right.
And because that'd be going into the next budget as revenue, you know, so...
Right. And so, I mean, I guess the question is, why do it that way instead of making the budget $10 million less?
That's a good question, you know, but I think you're so close in the numbers that I think it'd be better to go over a little bit, but not excessively.
And
9 million when you're looking at, you know, it's not, you know, we talk about a $450 million budget, but we're talking about all this money on schools and things that are coming
the
in. The budget for the borough is about $180 million. I mean, that's our real true numbers. And then $53 million is going to schools out of that number. And then there's the operations, you know, $32 million. I'm just kind of rounding numbers right now. That's the true numbers to me. And then the school numbers, our share is... So it's probably 5.9 to 6 mils out of your total millage to support our schools, and I'm 100% supporter of that.
Yeah, and so looking ahead, you know, right now we've got property taxes, we've got user fees.
Right.
Is there, if were you to be able to stay on the assembly, what would you look at? Do we need to diversify the tax base, how we collect taxes, or
last night, you know, everybody got beat up pretty bad on the vehicle registration, you know, repeal, because that would be, that's in the millions. And I don't think that legislation should have ever been approved. You know, it was an election year, it came down from the state and things like that, blah, blah. You know, really, what the impact is to our local road service areas.
Mm.
And, you know, so our road service area here in Talkeetna and the Trapper Creek and Willow were impacted immensely because that's where that vehicle registration was going.
Right,
and now it's missing, and so
through the state, so the money goes to the state, and then they
exactly.
give it back.
And so you could what's going to happen is these local road service areas are going to have to raise their mill rate internally to pick up that lost revenue that was coming from the vehicle. So it's just passing on the pain, you know. So they should have never passed it, but repealing something that people all of a sudden starting to kind of like, that's a tough thing to do.
Sure,
and it does have a sunset clause.
Okay.
So it's going to expire in 3 years.
Okay.
And then, of course.
And so then anybody else new, or if you get a new old
car.
So
if you have a vehicle older than 8 years, you better
do
get
it
in
now.
There and get your lifetime right now.
Mine's up this year.
Yeah, so take a look at it.
Well, we're just about out of time. I guess one last thing. You know, I haven't been able to get an answer yet, but do you know how many people are running for your soon-to-be vacant seat?
I know one for sure.
Okay.
Randall Kowalki from the Willow area has announced and is goes to a lot of meetings, and I haven't heard of anybody besides that person at this time.
Well, there's still a couple of months till the deadline,
you know,
so maybe
we'll
see someone else.
I think you don't have to file until late July. So
And all righty. Well, that is just about all the time we've got for today. My guest has been Mat-Su Borough Assemblymember Vern Halter. If you missed any part of the show, we'll rebroadcast at 7 o'clock, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.